want to pray with Seidel in a minute before he shares God's word with us. But it's about, I think it must be about 4 years ago, if I'm right, that we're sitting together at the Baptist Union Council table on a breakfast morning when you approached me and you said, I think I'm coming up north. Now, then in September of that year, about 3 years ago, you came, you saw, you fell in love, and you went back south again.
Yes.
Is that true?
That sounds correct.
And why have you come back this morning for? I've got no more girls.
Well, the primary reason, I can't lie, I wanted to say it's you, but the primary reason is I'm lecturing at Cape and Ray next week. And then
he says he's lecturing. That's what he said 2 years ago.
But only for this week. And then if I'm coming all the way here, it doesn't make any sense not to come to Lancaster Baptist Church.
Of course. No, it's a privilege to have you with us. So is it true? Has he come to lecture? Yeah. Linda's here. Linda's here. Brother, let me just pray with you. It's a privilege to have you with us this morning. Father, we thank you for the way you have brought these two young people together, Simon and Linda. Thank you for the privilege that we have had as a church to play in that journey, to bring them together. Thank you for your calling in their lives, for their obedience to that calling to you. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless them, their life in London, in their teaching, in their jobs, or whatever they do there. And Father, we pray for Sandal this morning. You anoint him, and you anoint us through him, through your Spirit this morning, as you bring God's word to us. And Lord, we pray that one day he might be coming back up here. Well, Linda, you will bless them, fervently bless them. In whatever they desire, their heart's desire is, you will give them. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
My first challenge this morning is not to end up in the baptistry. So if the sermon is cut short, you know why. The order of service said message by Seidel in brackets update as well. I'm assuming that's our update of how we are in London. Life is going well, isn't it, Linda? Yeah, that's our update. It's going really well, and thank God for Spurgeon's College, where Linda and I, we both work. For those who don't know me, I'm Seidel. I work at Spurgeon's College as one of the lecturers, and Linda is the new admissions, not new anymore, but the admissions registrar. So if you are thinking about any theological education, I have brought the admissions registrar with me, so you can ask her. And God is good, and he's gracious to both of us, and also to Spurgeon's College. There's some exciting stuff happening in the life of Spurgeon's College. Watch out for the news. Here is a little sneak peek. We are planning to become a university. So we depend on other universities to validate our bachelor's, master's, and research degrees. But we are in the process in January to become a university so that we can accredit and validate our own Spurgeon's theology degrees. So if that goes through, praise God, God willing, we would be the first Christian university in the UK. So we are doing a lot of work for that. So please keep that in your prayers. And pray for Spurgeon's College, because especially the compliance team, which I head, we are under a lot of pressure and stress. It's not easy to register as a university. There are policies and policies and more policies that we need to write. So please pray for us for that. The reading for this morning is taken from Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, and some of the Pharisees were getting really annoyed. Why is this guy hanging out with these tax collectors and sinners, especially sinners? So Jesus gives them three parables. One is the parable of the sheep, the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin. And in Luke chapter 15 from verse 11, he gives the parable of the lost son. And here is how it goes from verse 11 to the end. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For my son was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' they replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered to his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. And he was lost, but now is found.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open this well-known parable to us. And we pray that you'll speak to each one of us. Speak into our hearts and minds the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That was just the Bible reading, so if we can restart the PowerPoint, that would be wonderful. Once a mother told the story of this prodigal son to her daughter before putting her to bed. She writes, "While putting my 5-year-old daughter to bed one evening, I read to her the story of the prodigal son. We discussed how the young son has taken his inheritance, left home, squandered his money, and he had nothing. Finally, when he had nothing, he came back to his father, and his father welcomed him. When she finished the story, I asked my daughter, she asked her daughter, what did she learn from this prodigal son parable? After thinking for a moment, this 5-year-old girl said, 'Never leave home without a credit card.'" Well, she said something that made sense to her little mind, but I find it fascinating. I can't remember the number of times I read this parable or heard sermons on this parable. You might have heard many sermons on this parable as well. But there is something beautiful about this parable, which was said 2,000 years ago. God still speaks to each one of us through the same old parable. And that is the beauty of God's word. So I urge you to be open. You might know this parable by heart, but open your hearts and ask God to teach you what he has in store for you. And Emilian told me, only 15 minutes, so I'll keep it very short. It's a very simple sermon for you. First, I'll move to the younger son. This younger son wanted his property, his inheritance, and he said, "Father, give me the share of my inheritance." In that particular culture, a child or a son only gets the inheritance when the father is dead. or when the father passes away. So for this younger son to go to his father and say, "Father, give me back my inheritance while you're still alive," basically means that you're equal dead to me. You're same as dead to me, Dad. I don't care what happens to you. Give me the share of my inheritance. Imagine how much it might have hurt his father. But his father gives him his part share of the inheritance. And this guy goes, sleeps with prostitutes, spends all his money, and then he is left penniless. And then he repents. You see, the worst part of the story is not that he spent his inheritance, which was supposed to provide a future for him. That's not the worst part. The worst part of the story with the younger son is that he never developed a relationship with his father. He never understood the heart of his father. He never understood how much his father loved him. But still, he went away. But the story ends up on a good note, doesn't it? He comes back repenting. The father welcomes him. And the scripture says, while he was, far away off entering his town, the father runs towards this repentant son and embraces him. That's a lovely ending, isn't it? But when we understand the context of ancient Palestine, it is quite interesting to note the amount of effort the father put in receiving his son. And the listeners of this parable, when Jesus was narrating, those listeners would have understood how a big deal this is. Did you know a father running to meet his youngest son says a lot about the nature of the father? In the Middle Eastern culture, an elderly man never ran. He never ran, because if he were to run, he would have to hitch up his tunic and make sure that he does not trip. And if he has to hitch up his eunuch, he would show his bare legs and ankles, which was considered inappropriate in that culture and in that time. It was humiliating and shameful for an elderly man, number one, to run, hitching up his tunic. But the father did not care, did he? That communicated how much he loved his repentant son. He loved him more than himself. And Jesus ends this parable by saying that he was dead, but now alive. That's why the father took joy in the son who came back. You see, true love, says Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, true love does not keep a record of wrong things committed. And this is true love being shown by the father to this younger son. So my sermon title, I forgot to say this, is "Which Son Are You Today?" So we are looking at the first son, younger son. So are you like the younger son? Do you have to come back to the Heavenly Father? Have you been living a life away from your father, Heavenly Father? Have you developed a relationship with him? Do you know him? And today is an excellent day. We are celebrating three baptisms. If I remember correctly, it's Chia, Reiko, and Mohammed are getting into establishing the beautiful relationship. They've already established, they're making it public today. Are you one of them? Have you never been publicly baptized or publicly confessed? I'm sure, Emilian, we can accommodate an on-the-spot baptism. If you are, please do come and see us. Let's move to the second son, the elder son. He was the good boy. He never left home. When his father asked him to do something, he always did it. He never rebelled, never ran away. He had full expectations as the head of the estate. Even if there was a sizable hole in the financial situation, this young son took the money and ran away, he still was ready to embrace that and maintain his father's estate. But there was one problem with this older son as well. He shared a critical flaw with his younger brother. He never got to know his father as well. He never understood the heart of his father. He was dutiful and faithful, hardworking and dependable. But because of what he did, it made him feel proud of his own accomplishments rather than a sense of love for his father. He felt proud about him. And when father showed care and love and mercy to the younger son, he became angry. He became bitter. He thought this is ultimate injustice. You never gave me even a young goat, but now for this young son, you slaughter a fattened calf and celebrate? He accused his father of wrong. He accused his father to be unfair. But when we reflect on this story, please hear me now. The older brother did not understand that it was not about who is good and bad. It was about who is dead and who is alive. It's not a matter about who is deserving. It was about who was in need. It's not about, he never understood, the older brother's concern was about justice, but he never understood his father's heart was not about justice. His father's heart was about mercy and grace. I mean, I might have told this many, many times. It actually comes from this Luke 15 parable of the lost son. You see, Jesus Christ, the Savior, whom we acknowledge as Lord and Savior of us, did not come into this world to die on the cross, that cruel death, to make you a good person. He did not come for that. Sometimes I get very annoyed by the kind of Jesus this media and the public create. Oh, Jesus is a very good person. Jesus is a nice man. All those morals, show another cheek, take care of the poor and needy. Jesus Christ did not come to make bad people good. The reality is that Jesus Christ came into this world to make dead people live. That is the gospel. If you're not preaching that, I don't know what kind of social, happy-clappy gospel we are preaching. The primary purpose Jesus came is to make dead people who are in their sins, dead in their sins, to be born again so that they can come alive in their spirit and establish and have a relationship with God. And this is something that we often miss to catch. Jesus Christ is there to give you a new life. Not just a good moral life. That's not the point. To give you a good, holistic spiritual life. The good deeds, taking care of poor, needy, they should be an outworking of your changed life. They are not there to earn a good life. I think sometimes there might be some older sons in churches or even in this church. How many times, including myself, have we accused God of being unfair and being jealous of our fellow brother or sister in Christ? The older son exaggerated his own goodness and exaggerated his brother's wickedness. How many times are we proud of our own goodness and faithfulness towards God? I always read my Bible. I always pray. I'm much better than the other person. Do we have that kind of judgmental attitude? Some of us might be attending church for years and years, but do you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father? Have you known the heart of your Heavenly Father? So which son are you? You may be the younger son, or you may be the older son. I love this picture, the father pleading with the younger son, repentant younger son, and the angry older son. In one sense, it doesn't matter if you're the younger son, if you're like the younger son, or if you're the older son. We both need Jesus. We need to understand the heart of the Heavenly Father. Both need to come to Jesus. Both need to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. So I leave this question with you today. Which son are you? And have you come to the cross? Have you come to Jesus to repent of your critical judgmental attitude? Or have you come to the cross to receive the salvation that only Jesus can give? Let me close with this illustration. It's a beautiful illustration I've come across a few years ago now. And I love this illustration because it says a lot about us. There's the story, I mean, you might have heard about this illustration before, so please bear with me. This story told about a flock of geese. A flock of geese. One day, the chief goose said to all the geese, "We need to fly to warmer climate because winter is coming." And all the geese said, "Of course, let's go. Let's go to this warmer climate." But there was one goose that did not want to go. So the chief goose went to this the other goose and said, "Why do you don't want to go?" "I don't want to go." "Yes, why do you don't want to go?" "I don't know. I just don't want to go. I don't feel like flying. I want to stay." So the chief goose said, "Look, it's going to be very cold. We all are going, there'll be no one to take care of you here. You have to come with us." "No, I'm an adult, I can stay here, I'm not going anywhere." So the chief goose said to this goose, "Okay, you stay, we are going." And all these geese, they went away to this warmer climate. They were flying and they went away. So this goose thought, "Ah, I'm free. I don't have all of these annoying, you know, relatives or brothers or sisters or friends. I can be by myself, swim in this nice little pond and be by myself." After 2 or 3 days, this goose realized that it made a big mistake. "All my friends are gone. I'm alone. I want them back." And then after realizing that this goose made a big mistake, the goose thought, "Okay, if I start flying now, fly really hard, I may catch up with them because they'll be flying for like, you know, 2-3 days anyways. So I might catch up with them." So this goose starts flying as fast, as hard as it can and going on, going on, going on. Because it was so cold, because it was not flying with other geese. You know, geese usually fly in a V shape. You know why they fly in a V shape? To protect themselves from the air currents. Because this one single goose was not flying in this V-shape, it was not being protected by any of these air currents. And before this goose realized, its wings froze and it fell straight onto earth again. And it fell so hard that it fell onto the ground. But this goose fell in a massive, fresh cowpat. A cowpat. And this goose thought, "This is so bad. I'm going to die in a cowpat. It's even worse." But there was hope. This cowpat was a fresh cowpat. So it gradually thawed its wings out. And this goose thought, "Ooh, actually, I'm getting back my wings. I can fly again." So the goose started shouting for joy and screeching joy. But that shouting attracted a wild cat. And this wild cat started approaching this goose in this cowpat. And this wild cat started licking this cowpat. And the goose thought, "Did anybody hear in history a wild cat helping a goose? This is wonderful. A cat is helping me to come out of this, all this mess." The cat was licking up all this mess. And then as soon as the cat finished licking up this mess, the cat started chewing on this goose. And then the goose said, "Oh no, I'm going to be eaten alive, that too in a cowpat." But then the goose realized, "Actually, I got my wings back. They're not frozen anymore. I can shake this off and I can fly away from this mess that I've created for myself." And the goose shook off the mess, started flying. And as the goose started flying, the goose noticed all its friends, the geese, coming back to rescue. They thought, "We need to go back and get our friend, or else the friend is definitely going to die somewhere." And then as the goose saw all the friends returning, the goose joined the V-shaped formation and went off to a warmer climate. Now, what is the moral of this amazing story? The moral of the story is this. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all make wrong choices. some wrong decisions. We do not get it right all the time. And sometimes when we don't get it right all the time, we fall into cowpaths or the equivalent of cowpaths. Now, when you are in a cowpat, don't scream too loudly, because the people who come to lick the mess off you are not always your friends. And when that's happening, remember, you can come out of your problem. You can ask for help. Ask God to help you to come out of that problem. And when you ask God to help you to come out of that problem, you will realize that God is actually waiting to receive you with those arms of that father in the prodigal son story. He's always there to receive you. So whether you are the older son or you are the younger son, God is waiting for you. And I will say a prayer now, and then if you want to talk to Emilian or myself after the service, please do come and speak to us. It'll be a great joy to talk to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this parable of the prodigal son, well-known parable. But thank you for speaking to each one of us today, whether we are like the younger son or the older son. Help us to know your heart. Help us to have a deep relationship with you through Jesus Christ, so that we know your mind. Help us to know your mind, your thoughts. Our thoughts are never as high as your thoughts. We pray that you'll reveal your thoughts to us. Help us to know your heart so that we can become more like Jesus. Help us not to be judgmental or proud of our own achievements, how good spiritual we are. But help us to see the lostness of people around us. Help us to see their need. Help us to see them as someone who needs Christ to spiritually be alive again. So we pray that you'll speak to our hearts and whoever we are. As we come to the cross, as we come to Jesus Christ, we ask for forgiveness, we ask for mercy, and we pray that you will bless us and receive us as your children and help us to be like children of light, shining in the communities where you have placed each one of us. So we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.